This is our session four in the tearing. This is called Tearing Down Strongholds. And we got this week and the next week, and that will be our six-week series in the True Freedom series. And I really do. I pray that it's been a blessing. I pray that there's been revelation. You know, the Lord put it on us last year that this whole year on Wednesday nights is meant for healing. A healed church is a healthy church. And I think sometimes we walk around wanting to give a little gospel here, but we're bleeding over everybody over there because we've not been completely healed. So this has been a good series. And tonight what we're going to talk about is part one of tearing down strongholds. You know, and the next week we're going to wrap it up, like I said, with part two, the continuation of this. But you know, in this series, we've talked about over these last several weeks the need for freedom in the life of every believer. I think one of my biggest challenges, and if you're ministering to people, you probably experience it too, is helping believers understand that they do need freedom. That they do need freedom. Now, they cannot be possessed by a demon, but they sure can be oppressed and suppressed. And it's understanding who our identity is and tearing down those strongholds, helping believers to understand that the battle, the spiritual battle, to win your war, it's in your mind. Romans 12:2 tells us, renew your mind, renew your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's probably one of the biggest challenges with believers, is to help them understand that we all need to be free. Jesus came to set us free. The other thing that we've talked about is how the enemy used the pain of our past to lead us into sin and keep us in bondage. We've talked every week, and we talk on Sundays about repentance and forgiveness. And the devil traps us into these lies and into these dungeons of pain and shame through unforgiveness. We've got to forgive. We've got to learn to forgive. We will never begin to heal until we first forgive those who have wounded us. And remember, forgiveness is for you. It's the greatest gift you'll give yourself. It doesn't say the person that hurts you, I agree with what you did to me. What you're doing is you're severing yourself from the soul ties, from those unholy connections, from the pain that was done to you. That only comes through forgiveness. We also talked about the work that Jesus does in our hearts to set us free. So many people are walking around brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. I've shared with you guys, I've got a brother that's 76 years old, and he still is in deep pain from the pain that our dad caused to us. And when he was little, we're talking 70 years. 70 years since his abuse began at the age of 6, my oldest brother. He's never received Christ. He's never received freedom. And he continues to suffer. And in the last class, we prayed a prayer of deliverance to remove the chains of Satan that has kept us bound. And what I want to tell you is, once we get into freedom, we're going to talk about tonight is how to keep from getting trapped and brought back in. I mean, all because you get free, Satan's not going to step back and give you a little certificate with a gold seal and say, good job, you got free. No, he tears that thing, throws it on the ground, and he comes after you again. The attacks will never cease. We've got to stay free. And one of the ways that he puts us in bondage is he separates us from the idea of believing that discipleship is important. We fail as mostly an American church when it comes down to discipleship. We really do. We were talking about that earlier. You know, we've had a sister, then she had a relative that he needed deliverance. She's like, you know, unless you're willing to walk this out and go through a process of discipleship, if you're delivered, and we all know what happens when you cast him out, he'll come back with seven more wicked than the first. This is what Satan's looking for. He's looking to put those strongholds up in our life, things that keep us away from the freedom that Jesus came to give us. Pastor Jack Hayford, he said, you can't cast out the flesh and you cannot disciple a demon. We have got to dig into discipleship. And God has blessed this church with spiritual mothers and fathers. And I encourage the body to seek. We should all be in a Timothy and a Paul relationship, one way or the other. We should all be Barnabases. We've got a wonderful opportunity to mentor the younger saints and to bring them up so they can win their war. So what I want to talk to you is about breaking down those strongholds. And I want to particularly focus on 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, and I'll read it. For though we walk in the flesh, We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. This particular scripture, we're gonna camp out on this for a bit, because we're gonna look at what is spiritual warfare. You know, it's a scientific model. It's called the war cycle, and it's studied by social scientists, academics, and they look at it to assess the process of initiation of natural war, nations going to war, ethnicities going to war. And it studies the process of initiation. It looks at the trigger to activation. And then what are the results of that conflict? What are the results of the war? This is a natural realm cycle. But we'll look at it, and it actually applies to spiritual warfare as well. Some of the primary phases that are studied in the dynamics of war is intelligence, understanding the adversary, the intentions and the capability. This is why, as we're walking through the Gospel of Mark, and we go line by line, scripture by scripture, it is a practical war field guide to win our war against the devil. We need to know who the enemy is. I've had people tell us, we don't need to know that stuff. We don't need to know that stuff. Well, I will tell you, nothing's ever been won by sticking your head in the sand. Sun Tzu, who is an ancient Chinese warrior, wrote The Art of War, and he said, know thy enemy, know thyself. We've got to have intelligence on who the adversary is. Not to give him glory, but to understand his strategy. And to understand that we've already been given victory, but that we will know how to put on the full armor of God. That we will know how to stand against the wiles of the enemy. The second component, besides intelligence, is war itself. Is initiating the movement and the firepower to break the enemy's will and their ability to attack. Ephesians tells us, put on the full armor of God, put on the whole armor of God, so you can stand, so you can withstand, so you can stand against the wiles of the enemy. We know how to fight spiritual warfare. Stand firm. I've told you guys, the sandals of peace. And the actual Roman warriors, what they would wear, they had spikes on their sandals. And these weren't beach flip-flops. These were war sandals that were hard, and some had 1-inch spikes, and some had 3-inch spikes. And that was so they could withstand the onslaught of the enemy. It was also to keep them from retreating. Can you imagine running away with 3-inch spikes? The way that they would defeat the foe was to stand, withstand. And the third part of the cycle, the war cycle, is occupation. It's managing post-conflict stability and governance. You know, the Bible tells us that we're more than conquerors. So you ask yourself, well, what's more than a conqueror? I will tell you, it's an occupier. When you have conquered as a nation another piece of land, it is now your responsibility to occupy. So what is more than a conqueror, which is what we are? We're occupiers. We are occupying this space, this time, and this season. We've got to be good stewards in the way that we occupy. So tearing down strongholds. We're going to walk through 2 Corinthians, and I want to 2 Corinthians 10:3. And this is from the NLT version. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. You see, we don't wage war as humans do because we're not fighting a natural realm war. A lot of times struggle comes and we resort to our natural instincts. We want to get physical. We want to get emotional. We want to get revenge. We never want to get on our knees. We never want to surrender. But we're not fighting a natural realm battle. We're not fighting a natural enemy. See, we don't fight as humans because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're more than natural. We're supernatural. And sometimes people, they get a little weird about that. Like, I don't know about that stuff, like we're supernatural. Well, let me just break it down to you in the Latin, the word super. It simply means above, beyond what is natural. Super, supra, extra. And then natural is natura in the Latin, and it just means nature. So I want to give you an example of what supernatural could mean. So the average adult reader, they read 220 words per minute when they read silently. That's the average reader. But when they read aloud, the average reader can only manage about 183 words per minute. So that's the average. I can tell you I'm below average. Now, speed readers, they average over 400 words read per minute. You see, that's an example of supernatural. They go above what is natural. And this is what we are. What makes us above the natural is we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to get on my soapbox when people like talking about sin. Well, I'm only human. I'm only human. And it would just drive me crazy because you're not only human. You have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit indwelled with you. Do not tell me that you're only human. You are disrespecting and disregarding the authority of the Holy Spirit living in your life. What you're doing is you're giving yourself an alibi to sin. I'm only human. You're not. You need that supernatural component to fight a supernatural war. So 2 Corinthians 10:4, we use God's mighty weapons. Well, what are God's mighty weapons? Their prayer, their faith, their truth, their love, and of course the power of the Holy Spirit. These are our weapons. Not emotions, not feelings, not opinions, not snarky Facebook posts. These are the weapons of our warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. So what are the worldly weapons? Like, what are we in battle against? What are we fighting against? Well, human reasoning and arguments. These are the strongholds that we're tearing down. So what we're doing, we're using God's mighty weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. This is what we're doing. We get so amped and ramped up for supernatural warfare, and it's like, well, who are you fighting? I don't know. Well, what are you fighting? I don't know. Is it a ground game? Is it a war game? Are we going by sea? I don't know. Now you know. This is what we're fighting when we fight supernatural enemies. These are the strongholds. You see, one of the biggest strongholds is human reasoning. I said human reasoning. And all a stronghold is, it's a firmly established belief, an idea, or a mindset. That's what we're talking about when the Bible's talking about a stronghold, a supernatural stronghold. It is a firmly established belief, idea, or mindset. They're deeply ingrained patterns of thinking or reasoning. But you know, most of the time, they're not even based on truth or fact. They're words that are spoken over your life. They're lies that are told to you. They're empty promises made to you. This is how strongholds develop. This is how they're developed. This is how we tear them down. But you see, Proverbs 18:21 tells us, and we know this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Like, we get a choice. We get a choice to speak death or speak life. And I will tell you that most of us, over the course of our life, we have had death and curses spoken over us. So I just ask you, we're talking about the strongholds in your life. What ingrained patterns, what thoughts, what ideas have been told and told and told to the point you kind of start to accept some of it? Like, maybe not even 100%, but like, maybe. Like, what words, what strongholds of death have been spoken over you? Have you been told that you're too old? The night kids walk out to be told that you're too young? Are you too sick? Well, you're too poor. You know, you're never going to amount to anything. You've always been a failure. Were we told that we were a bad dad or a bad mom? Have you ever been told, well, you know, all your family's been like that. You're always going to be like that. I just want you to reflect for a second. I want you to think of what strongholds, what lies have been spoken over you enough times to where you're maybe not 100% under buying it, but you got that what if. You got that what if. I want you to release those curses spoken over you. I want you to tear down those strongholds. Those are lies. They're not based on facts. What words of death have you spoken over yourself? If I would say, I am, okay. If I would say, I ask you, I am what? What lies have you put on yourself? What lies have you accepted? Or maybe, I will never. What inner vows have you made? How have you cut yourself short? I'm 87 years old. I'll never have another ministry. That's a lie. This brother just started his new ministry. We've all been told these lies until we get to the point that we start speaking them again. But I want you to release yourself. I want you to declare victory. I want you to tear down these strongholds. You see, just to remember that a stronghold, it simply refers to an established belief or mindset. Like somebody can offer it up. If I offer you, you know, chocolate cookies, you don't have to eat those chocolate cookies. But you make the choice to take those chocolate cookies. And then you're going to blame me for giving you the, because now I'm out of shape, I ate chocolate. You've got a choice. You've got a choice what you choose to believe about yourself. Now, what I want you to believe about yourself is the truth. The truth is what? It's what God says about you. And you're not sure what God says about you? Read His Word. It's the truth. I want to go a little scientific. I've shared this before, but you can retrain your brain. Romans 12:2 says, renew your mind. Transform your mind by renew your mind. And by reading of the Word of the Lord, it's called neuroplasticity. And in your brain, this is brain science, you have synaptic gaps and thoughts that fire together, wire together. So if all you're doing is thinking about chocolate cookies, all you're going to want is a chocolate cookie. You start reading the Word of the Lord, and that Word starts to manifest itself in your life, and you're going to start thinking about the Word of the Lord. And you're not going to be thinking about these lies. Your brain is going to start rewiring itself. I counsel a lot of men about dealing with pornography. And they're like, well, I was just born with an addiction to pornography. You were not. Your little soft gray baby brain did not come out of the womb needing to consume pornography. There was an unintentional or intentional exposure, usually at the age of 8 years old, which is so tragic. But usually by about the age of 8 is a child's first exposure. It may be curiosity or maybe fantasy or ideation. And so those thoughts start to change the way that they wire in your brain. You're no longer worried about Scooby-Doo or Johnny Quest. You're thinking about that porn site that somebody showed you or that magazine under your uncle's bed. You see, your brain was rewired because of neuroplasticity. It's trainable. It went from beautiful gray matter baby brain to a brain locked in addiction. It can go back. And this is brain science, but you know, more important than brain science, it's the Word of the Lord. Amen. It's Romans 12:2. We know that we can transform our mind. We can renew our mind. What we've got to do is we've got to stop believing the lies. We've got to reject it. We've got to reject the lies of the enemy. So how do we defeat the strongholds of human reasoning? Well, just what we said, Romans 12:2. Do not conform, and I'm going to use the NIV version. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing will, perfect will. What are the patterns of this world? Mainstream media, social media, toxic family, toxic friends. What are the patterns of this world that are making these indelible impressions in your mind? You keep feeding yourself the lies of mainstream media, and you're going to get all spun up 24 hours a day, news cycles. Did you see what they did? Can you believe this? I can't believe it. And your mind begins to process in that realm. The way you rewire your brain is the reading of the Word. Amen. I encourage you to reject the lies of the enemy. But don't just reject. No, Scott, I don't want that chocolate cookie. But replace it with the positive. Replace it with the positive. Refute the claims. Rebuke the statements and the ideas that lack validity. They're lies. You see, you expose the lie with the truth of God's Word. We've got to take an extra step. We can't just say, I'm not dumb. I'm not dumb. Unless you go and you start reading the Word of the Lord and you start to read what God says about yourself, you're just kind of left with a void. False allegation, No, I'm not dumb. You just find yourself kind of empty. You've got to renew your mind with the word of the Lord. You see, Ephesians 4:25 tells us, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one body. Like, you've got to make an intentional effort to speak the truth. It is so easy to just tell enough truth to be a little bit right and leave the rest under the carpet. You've got to be intentional about going all the way through. Telling the whole truth. Don't just confess a little. You got to confess it all. You got to open it up and give it to the Lord. You know, these proud obstacles that 2 Corinthians is talking about, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. So when we're talking about what are these proud obstacles? Well, again, it's false beliefs. It's bad or sinful habits, worldly distractions. Anything that keeps you from reading this book, anything that keeps you from this, anything that keeps you from prayer, anything that distracts you from the Lord are proud obstacles. We're called to dismantle these obstacles. We have the authority to dismantle them. You see, God's truth is just on the other side of Satan's lies. But we find ourselves behind these strongholds like, I wonder what's over there. I wonder what's over there. And the Lord's been telling you what's over there. He's been telling you who you are in Him, in Christ. But you got to tear down that wall. So what do we know about pride? Well, 1 Peter 5:5-6 tells us, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, we've talked about this. The word resist in the Greek is antitasso. What it means is to post an adverse array, to post a resistance, an army against you. When you resist, God antitasso. You will not move one step in your faith walk. You will not move one step towards deliverance. You will not move one step towards freedom or abundance or provision. Why? Because you are in rebellion. You are in resistance. You are in antitasso. So what's the solution for resistance? It's submission. Submission is just the opposite in the Greek. It's hupotasso. It's submission. It's a military term. It means to submit yourself to the mission, under the mission. Whose mission? God's mission. If you will submit yourself to the mission of God, then you break the resistance of antitasso. When you submit, then God does what? He will exalt you. Like, we work our tails off to get a promotion, to get 25 more cents an hour, to get a like on Facebook. And here's God, like, I will exalt you in due time if you will just submit to the mission. Isn't it amazing to know that God is just waiting to exalt you? For doing what? Getting your degree, making more money, just submitting yourself to His will. That's how you break through the resistance. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. You see, our minds can be rebellious. They want to resist God's ways. We want to make our own way. We've lived too long independently. Oh, I can do my own thing. Oh, I can figure it out. But you got to actively and intentionally take control of your thoughts. You've got to align them with Christ's teaching. By capturing your rebellious thoughts, we prevent them from leading us away. We leading them into sin. What will happen is we get deliverance, and we're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then you're not continuing to read the Word. You're not moving in the gifts or even the fruit. They see no fruit, and you reject discipleship because, well, I'm busy. And then next thing you know, these strongholds resurface. You're back over in that habit that God freed you from. Like, we've got to be intentional And you know, when it says capture, that's a very active, aggressive command. It's to seize, to arrest every sin thought. Like, you know, when I was first saved, and I would wonder, like, how do I control my thoughts? Like, I can't control what pops in my head. Am I supposed to just, like, keep my eyes closed and not think about anything? Like, how do you even do that? But I was very passive in my understanding because I'd not been discipled yet, you see? And I worried about that. And then I understood that I can take control of my mind, that I can submit it to God's will, that I begin to capture, that I can be aggressive in taking every thought captive. Now, when I was younger, an example, you know, you'd see a good-looking girl, and it's like, do I need to run or do I just stay home? Well, from the visual registry of a person to the time that it becomes a thought embedded in your head, that's when the capture takes place. Nope. No, we're not taking that route. We're not thinking that stuff. I am taking those dark thoughts, and I'm submitting them to Jesus Christ. This is what will prevent those strongholds. And whatever your bad habits are, whatever your lies are, those are the things that will begin to build those strongholds. And you can knock them down and the Satan will build them back up. But it's just like catching a prisoner. You take those dark thoughts to the jailer and you submit them. And you submit them to Jesus Christ until they become obedient to him. It is an active process. Because I'll tell you, God gives good, healthy thoughts and desires. Like, we must remember that God gave us the good desires. But like everything God creates good, Satan counterfeits. Satan can't create anything. He destroys, he counterfeits everything. So when Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We know that this doesn't mean a wish list for Christmas. This means that our desires become his desires. And when our desires become his desires, we're perfectly aligned with the will of the Lord. And those are good desires. But if we get outside the will of the Lord, well, Satan's waiting to counterfeit it. So how do you keep away from the worldly desires? It's like 1 Peter says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Take your thoughts captive and run to the Lord. God is our stronghold. We cannot do this on our own. None of us are smart enough or strong enough or rich enough. We've got to go to the Lord. A demonic stronghold begins as a fortress. It soon becomes a prison and then a tomb. And I want to tell you, we got to be careful of what we see as a stronghold. You see, there's good strongholds and there's bad strongholds. There's positive and there's negative. We've got to have the discernment. Like I'm counseling a guy right now who is dealing with sexual sin. And he's single. And he's like, well, I like to have a girl come over late at night because I just don't want to be alone. It makes me feel affirmed. It makes me feel special. That is not a good stronghold. It is not a righteous relationship. But he's trying to convince himself that it is a good stronghold. But you see, chocolate cookies. Late at night, I went to the gym. I rode my bike. I've been doing good. I'm going to have me some chocolate cookies. Well, you know what? Before you know it, those chocolate cookies, you're overweight, your health is suffering, because what you thought was a good stronghold, a good satiation for what you, maybe your pain or what you felt you deserved. I want to give an example from Judges, when what they thought was a good stronghold actually turned into the death of them. And this comes from Judges 9, the Old Testament. When the leading citizens who lived in the Tower of Shechem heard what had happened, they ran and hid in the temple of Beth Abarith. Someone reported to Abimelech that the citizens had gathered in a temple, so he led his forces to Mount Zalmon, and he took an axe and chopped down some branches from a tree, then put them on his shoulder. Quick, do as I've done, he told his men. So each of them cut down some branches, following Abimelech's example. They piled the branches against the walls of the temple, and they set them on fire. This was an entire population's stronghold. They fled to this stronghold, thinking there was safety. So what happened? So all the people who lived in the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. What I want to tell you is be discerning about what you see as positive strongholds or negative strongholds. A positive stronghold is the word of the Lord. A positive stronghold are other brothers and sisters in the faith. A positive stronghold, iron sharpens iron. A positive stronghold, spiritual moms and dads. These are the strongholds that we need to pursue, where there's good words, where there's truth. But you see, even if you found yourself in a negative stronghold, I want to give you hope. You see, there's good news. Psalms 18 tells us, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock and who I find protection. He is my shield and power that saves me in my place of safety. Amen. The Lord is our stronghold. He is the right stronghold. He's our fortress. Church, run to the Lord. Run to the Lord. I just want to encourage you. I know we get weary. We'll get deliverance, and then we'll find ourselves right back where we started. And we just get to the point where we just want to give up. Like, no matter what I do, it always goes wrong. That's when you got to stop. You got to stop doing what you're doing. You got to stop digging holes just for the sake of digging holes. You got to start asking the Lord, Lord, I'll dig a hole when you tell me when to dig and when you tell me where to dig. When you submit yourself to the will of the Lord and stop bouncing from stronghold to stronghold. This is where you find freedom in the Lord. So what I want to do, I want to pray a prayer over you, and I've written this through the week and prayed over it. And if you would, you can sit where you are or stand to receive it. But I would just like you to, during this time, I would really appreciate if you would just start meditating and think back. You know, sometimes it's hurtful to think about the lies that were spoken over you. And sometimes it just gets to be almost too much work. Well, they keep saying I'm this, I must be. If it doesn't align with what the word of the Lord, if it doesn't align with what God is saying about you, it's not you. It's not true. I want you to take this time to think over those words of death that have been spoken over you. I want you to reject them. We're gonna deliver you from these words. I want you to think about the words of death you've spoken over yourself. I want us to be healed. I want us to be healthy. We've got a lot of work to do for the kingdom. And the Lord, He needs us healthy. So, Heavenly Father, we come before You united in faith and seeking Your intervention. We recognize that strongholds, those deceptive thought patterns and bondages, can hinder our walk with You. We also know that You're our mighty fortress, our deliverer, and our hope. Lord, You conquered sin, death, and every spiritual force that opposes Your kingdom. We ask that You break every chain that binds us. Tear down the walls of fear, addiction, doubt, and unbelief. We surrender our minds and our hearts to You. Holy Spirit, renew our minds with Your truth. Replace lies with Your word. Help us recognize the enemy's tactics and stand firm against them. Empower us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Lord, we repent of any areas where we've allowed strongholds to take root. Forgive us for relying on our own understanding instead of trusting You. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we pray for deliverance from fear, from addiction, from past hurts, from pride and self-reliance, from unforgiveness, from negative thoughts and patterns, from bondages of the mind. And Lord, we declare our minds are renewed by Your word. We resist the devil when he flees from us. We stand on the authority of Christ. Our thoughts align with Your truth. In Jesus' name, we pray for minds to be set free, for strongholds to be demolished. In Jesus' name, amen.